We are on page Samach Aleph. We're up to the last paragraph from the bottom.
Page what?
Page Samach Aleph. I actually prepared, spent time preparing today, but a lot of these words, I don't know what they mean. Some of the Rosh Tevas, I don't know what they mean. Some of the words I don't mean. So I'm asking you to help me out to get through these interesting shilas. And even if we can't always derive practical halacha from these things, but more often than not, the Shi'anim, the Sunnah of Halacha, brings out yisodos. He brings out ideas, concepts, which can definitely enhance our understanding.
One thing we did yesterday, which I think is people don't realize, when you're talking about the public trolleys,
yeah,
it's gas or it's brakes. Is it more shaila of being over by braking than on the giving gas?
Today,
every time, because when you you don't give exactly because of your weight. You do more. You put your foot down on the pedal.
You
move quickly.
But when you brake, it's precise.
When you brake, it's very effective by the weight of the people inside.
Okay, but today, all the new technology today, and all the new electronic cars, and even the hybrids, it's going to become standard. And on the train, they advertise this on the subway. If you notice, when you brake, you create energy, and that energy is pumped somehow into the batteries. It's preserved.
Right.
So when you put on the brake, you're doing malacha. It used to be in ancient times. What was a brake? You stop, it's just a mechanical motion. You put pressure upon the wheel, and the wheel should stop. You're not creating energy. Today, when they brake on the subway, when they brake, even today on the electric, I was able to drive a hybrid for a short period of time because my car, a whole store, a car broke this, and I got from insurance for a few days. I got a hybrid. So when you brake on the hybrid, it shows you how much energy it's channeling from the brake back into the battery. It's an amazing thing. I always
says that's a malacha.
Oh, that's a question. Is it a malacha? You're creating energy. It's not a malacha.
That's
fire
involved, right?
What?
You don't fire involved. It could be an electric.
But a brake is friction. Friction is fire.
I don't know.
That's the problem. Is so if you're on a train, the train is braking.
Yeah,
because of you.
Yeah, your weight.
It's getting very hot.
Forget about the heat, but.
So you could be getting red hot. They get red hot.
Okay, you're making a fire by creating energy. What exactly is the energy that you have created? This is a new thing.
If you put two chemicals
in
Shabbos and they make heat.
I don't know. If you create a fire on Shabbos, if you rub two stones together and you create spark.
No, not your mind. If you put two chemicals together, they have what it calls exothermic.
So is that a blocha deraisa? I don't know.
You put salt into.
I don't know. You go. You have those heat packs, right? Someone has a bruise. You take one of those ice packs or heat packs. They have heat packs now also, right? They have those. That's a new thing. That wasn't in existence until recently. You have usually the ice pack. Get a bruise. You go to the infirmary in the camp. And a bruise. They break. They smash one of these things, and it's an ice pack.
And they have
now they have a new thing. That's now they have a heat pack. It's only recent. It's only the last couple of years. Heat pack. So is that you're doing a malacha when you puncture the ice pack and the heat pack? Not the rice. You're not doing malacha the rice. When you step on the brake and you create, by stepping on the brake, you are creating energy, and that energy is being permanently, not permanently, but it's being stored for a significant period of time. That energy is preserved. It's being stored in a battery through whatever technology. Is that a malacha the rice? Pressing on the brake. These are new things that did not exist in ancient times. Ancient times, in the old subways, when they stepped on the brake, maybe it was an electrical thing they were doing. They were pressing the button, they're applying the brakes, but certainly you weren't creating energy. This is a new issue which has to be dealt with. Okay, now listen to the Chassam Sofer. Okay, I'm not sure the exact words, but he says over here, this is the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer was known. He was known to be very chodosh osur min ha-Torah. Any innovation in halacha is automatically osur. It's a break of tradition. So he just brings out that point here in some powerful words. He actually quotes the words of Chassam Sofer. Again, it's the last paragraph on page Samach Aleph. The ayin b'shut Chassam Sofer shekosa b'zeh haloshon v'nehi im yiru talmidei chachomim v'goydrei geder. Let's say we find Talmidei Chacham and Goydrei Geder, the people who normally make gezeros, lahafer Torah, lefi hazman v'hamakoymos. For whatever reason, they have to be mevatel. What?
They established Hatzalah.
No, they're coming to Mevatel, Yiskabsu, they get together, v'yissu, v'yitnu. Now, what's that word? I can't figure out what the word is. Pa, Pa'ade ha, what?
I don't know what it means.
Pa'ade pa'are hazman. I don't know what that means. Kach also b'machshavosenu lahatir isad rabbanim polonim mitam kach v'kach. There's a reason. There's a hatsala. There's a reason why we can be lenient in this situation. You have to be mivakar choli. You can go in the elevator. You can do this. You can do that. They come to be lenient for whatever reason. Uche'en ta'konas ha'kihilos k'rabbeinu tam. Now, what's that stand for? B'samach vav samach yud. I don't know what that means. Rabbeinu tam make ta'konas. They do some type of thing which they made. They be matter things, they will geyser, I don't know what it is, b'shut maram, b'prag, uchehena, avol, that may be true for kehilos, avol yachid, b'doiroi, afilu hu chasin ka'aloinim, he is powerful, like an alone tree, it's the name of a mighty tree, uchegoyva arozim, and they have a Talmud Chacham, a yachid, who is mighty, he's a great Talmud Chacham, like a cedar tree, gavhoi, his height reaches the height of a cedar tree, udvodov, Kuroi Mutsakim, and his words are Niru, I think it means really Niru, Niru Mutsakim are solid. Like Kivain, like I'm not sure what it means. Like Kivain Lahatir Afilu Mina Katan Minhage Yisrael. He has no right. I think what he means to say is you have no right, Bizman Hazeh, to be matir even a minor minhag. It's dangerous, it's slippery slope. Once you stop being matir minhagim, matter, one thing, it will automatically lead to another, and before you turn around, you're going to find yourself in a place that you never imagined you would be in. Again, I don't know the exact translation of how all these words fit together. Hayoim yoimer hu kach, v'yid thisenu, v'yir semenu, today he'll say this, he'll make it well known public, he'll make a public knowledge, umachar, and what's going to happen? It's going to happen tomorrow, we're going to go down the slippery slope, umachar yoimer achakach, b'svaros chaloshois, k'tsunumos, takois, weak, withered, logic, at sheyatir iser de'araisa, they'll ultimately come to mechal to the iser de'araisa. Kasher ira be'avdasin haram bezmanini gives examples. Kirabu peritze hador ve the many people they breach trenches vehemidu chazoin loyma, and they established a vision to say the following. This is what this is quoting what people did. The Chassam Sofer is quoting what people did. Haloi giluach bechol hamoyed kama me'oshanim nohagu avaseinu iser. Okay, there used to be the custom people would not shave on Chol HaMoed. We're not dealing with Sfira. We're not talking about 3 weeks. We're dealing with Chol HaMoed. The prohibition to shave on Chol HaMoed is more severe than the prohibition, than the issue. It's not even an issue. The prohibition, than the minig of not shaving, the Sfira, and the issue of not shaving, the avelos of the 9 days or the 3 weeks. So there was, it was understood that people did not take haircuts and shave during Chol HaMoed. Vinitzta'aru. Vinis nil, I don't know what that word means. Vinis nolu, I don't know what that means. Viata now, perush.
Golu, they got disgusting.
I don't know. Viata hitiru perushim esadavar gam nami, and now the perushim umatir. People came along and they said, look, even though for 1,000 years people did not take haircuts on Chol HaMoed, people we have now leniencies. Today, Rabbanim, Tzadikim, I'm probably talking about in the Chassam Sofer in his time, they came up with leniencies why it was necessary for people to be permitted to take haircuts and shave, whatever they did, however they shaved in those days, the Chassam Sofer, on Chol HaMoed. So they said, oh!
I know what the word is.
What's the word?
It's novel.
Became disgusting? We had pain and we became disgusting in the olden days. And now the Rabbanim is not talking about lightweight Rabbanim, it's talking about great Tzadikim. Heavyweight Rabbanim gave heterim for people to shave on whatever they did, to take haircuts for business reasons. So he's quoting here that people took this heter. Look, just like the Rabbanim said that we can change the halacha and we can now take haircuts on Chol HaMoed, we also can be Mechal Shabbos. They one thing led to another. V'yata hitiru pirushim es hadover. Gam, they were matter, even though we did not do this. Gam kein novo v'nate l'chalel Shabbos b'far hesya. We also can go to work on Shabbos. Just like for the heter of work, we're allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, right? It's dover ha'ovet. We're not going to be able to appear in court in front of a judge respectfully if we don't look our best. So parnasa, for parnasa, you can do this in Chol HaMoed. For parnasa, you can go to work on Shabbos also.
In the time of the reform.
Yeah.
This was, a lot of rabbanim were masking with some of the yeshivas.
Yeah, the rabbanim had no choice. It was a matter, if we're not going to let them do this, they would go for the derech entirely. They had no choice.
So this translation was accepted. Some say he refused it. He said
he was very bad, but he's saying that in his time, look what has happened. People, the rabbanim, he's writing over here, the great rabbanim, their greatness like a cedars, the greatest of the great, found leniencies in halacha that were correct for certain things, but the hamoin am abused these leniencies, and on their own they said, just like you're allowed to do this, so you also can do this.
Even a
gadol yochid made mistakes. One thing leads to another. So therefore, the Chasam Sofer was just saying is that don't give in even to a minor minug. And the kalar, meaning that the chain of guilt will be held tole achar kach behagoyim ad kan teichen advarim hakedoshim. That is the inclusion of his holy words, and the people that bear the responsibility, the people that made the first breach, the people who made the first breach and started letting people do things which at the time were only minor and according to halacha were mutter. But you have to understand a zeh chacham haroya es hanoilat. If you're going to be matter this today, who knows what's going to come out of this tomorrow? These arguments are being presented all today online, open orthodoxy. What's going on? The Novominsky Rebbe, he came out, it was going on, they created a firestorm. That's only the last week. I'm not talking about what was going on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Rakefet is one of the strongest, surprisingly, Rakefet, you know, he's from a different camp. Rakefet is from the strongest critics of open orthodoxy. You should see what he says about open orthodoxy. Eish Lahava, fire his words.
Marillas did this.
What? Marillas also.
He said that, you know, he's masking that if women want
the rabba,
to be they want to be.
I read the article.
But they can become a
rabbi. You got to know what's going on. Technically, what's wrong? What's so terrible?
Says, really, I don't care. But there's later that they're trying to put a change in. Like you say,
right now there's nothing wrong, but this is exactly what the Chasam Sofer says. Chasam Sofer is saying that these things, maybe technically there's nothing wrong, but you gotta look at the big picture, which direction you're heading. I always love that stuff from Rabbi Berlow. One has a beautiful story where a person, one of his Talmidim in Muncie, got a shtela to be a Rav in a shul where it was pretty much a non-kosher mechitza. The mechitza was all the way down on the ground, if there was any mechitza at all. So the Talmud asked this Rebbe, can I take the position in the shul? So he says, go tell me the exact measurements. I'm not a bar hochi to pask in the shaila. Tell me the exact measurements of the mechitza, and I'll go ask either it was Rav Moshe or Rav Yaakov, I don't know, one of the Gedolim, so I'll present the question on your behalf to them. So he presented the question, so he came with all the measurements, about the mechitza, so the Gadol, whoever it was, said to him, I don't need the measurements. All I have to know is one thing. Is the mechitza going up? Is it growing? Or is it going down? If the mechitza, every Shabbos, is getting lower, and it's not important the exact height. If the mechitza is shrinking every Shabbos, you can't take the job. But if the mechitza is very low, but it's growing, it's getting higher and higher as the weeks go on, you can take the job. You have to know where things are headed. That is the point he makes here.
Yeah, but the same thing is with chumras.
What?
Same thing is with chumras.
Right, too many chumras is also dangerous. You can lead to, who knows where it can lead. Putting up a mechitz in an elevator. This is shocking. Even someone like me, who doesn't get shocked about these things, was my eyes popped out. What?
The two entrances in the left?
No, one entrance. There's only one elevator. One entrance, you go into queue matches, such a thing. You go into the elevator and there's a curtain in the middle of the elevator. A man and a woman in one elevator.
Not two sets of buttons.
There are. Well, every elevator, all the good elevators have two sets of buttons.
No, it's true.
Not the old ones. Okay, the big ones. Okay, the big elevators are on the left and the right. There are two sets of buttons. Okay, very cute. Okay, this is his Yisrael. There's also a beautiful story from the Rishol Salanter. This story made an impression on me, where Rishol Salanter, I've sure told you the story a few times. It was either Tfilas Tal, Tfilas Geshem, and the Shliach Tzibur forgot, or the shul did not have a kittel.
Oh, really?
So he told so the people in the shul said, there's no kittel, so no big deal. So what's a kittel? It's a minog. It's only a custom to a kittel by tefillas talk. Yes, Hashem. Maybe you'll tell me you have to have a kittel for the Seder. Even that is questionable. The question: a kittel for tal and Geshem? So he saw the stars and said, how long will it take you to get a kittel? It's about taking about over an hour. We'll have to walk half an hour to the next shul, half an hour back. So he said, go get a kittel. We'll wait an hour. What do we say? What do we have today? Today, in this dar, his dar, not so long ago. We have nothing. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We have almost nothing. All we have left in our generation, Ikvus of the Mashiach, are Minhage Yisrael. It's kedai to wait an hour, so you should go get a kittel to be Mekayim, Minhag Yisrael, the Shliach Tzibur, so we are a kittel for Geshem Otal. That says a lot. The certain sensitivity Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had. Yisrael Salanter was one of the most open-minded people. He was way before art school. He, in fact, commissioned people to write translations of the Gemara that the world, not for Jews, for the Goyim, that the Goyim should appreciate the Chochmah of the Talmud. And he wanted to commission the entire translation, elucidation of the entire Shas. Art school only made it for us. They didn't make it for the guy who wanted to learn, because then they hate. But they made it for us. He was very open-minded. Yeah, when it came to Minhag Yisrael, he told them, we're going to wait an hour. We're not going to daven Musaf. So what is the waiting a kittel? It's a joke. It's not anything significant. That's the sensitivity of Rav Shol Stanton with regard to a minhag. Okay, next. Halach v'ayin b'shari b'shal shub tzion Eliezer. I have no idea who that is. Shehev yisham divrei ha-mishpati ha-uzil v'heishav gam kein sham al kol dvarav. He quotes him and he responds to all of these matters regarding minhagim, regarding doing things which are technically permitted, which may lead to, down the line, to problems. Halacha Gimel. Garoife. We learned that a doctor is allowed to travel on a ship. It's for a mitzvah, tzarech. He's allowed to go on a ship, he's allowed to go on a trolley, all of these things in order to reach his patient. Garoife, tzarech leiluch lelechoyla afilu. Now what does that stand for? Afilu.
Shein bo sakana.
Very good. Shein bo sakana. Ayin b'shut avodas hagyushuni. Vehuva be'er hetev. Uveshari tshuva demutar lo lelech al hagesher haparchois letzarech on some type of floating bridge. I guess it's like a ship. Letzarech choyla she'ein bo yisakon v'chayv v'chayim chayodav b'shtabura mitzadadim lahatir la'avor b'svina katana b'sarech hatchum b'shas hatchak. A doctor can go. We're very lean. No one wants to take responsibility today, where we think today we're much more sensitive to this. Because what we think today is minor can very quickly turn into something major. So today, even for the smallest thing, you'll get a heter for a doctor and to do whatever.
Yes, they do. They have
to go, but even to go to a doctor, to call up a doctor on the telephone, to do all of these things. I remember once a story: a person called up a doctor. Doctor was not religious. He was Jewish. The Jewish were not all religious. And on Shabbos, and the doctor said, "No, a regular from a person from the community, an irregular, you know." Beis Yaakov girl has a baby, whatever, and she was nervous about the kid, so she called up the doctor on Shabbos. So the doctor said to her, if you're calling me on Shabbos, this must be very serious. Even though it sounded like the question wasn't such a serious question, but the doctor got scared that if you're calling me, if you really feel there's something wrong, even though it may seem simple, but you're sensitive enough that there's something does not seem right, and you're calling me on Shabbos, that itself tells me, or it's a red light, you better... What?
In her mind it was serious. So.
I'm assuming the case was, this is a mother who had many children, she's seen, there's quite a lot of experience, she knows what a minor problem is and what a major problem is. The problem appears to be minor, but if she is so... If she makes that call on Shabbos, the doctor told her, obviously you sense, the sixth sense, you sense something is really wrong. And he told her, call Atzala, go into the hospital right away, because just the fact that you're calling me is an indication of how serious you really think this thing is, even though... Are you telling me it's not a big deal? Okay, let's go further. So we have over here the doctor. So the Mishnah Berurah says he's also matir b'shasat chak v'yesh hefsid mamon v'yesh lodim misham l'kan, and the Mishnah Berurah says you can go on a ship and if it's shasat chak, and there's a law, so certainly a doctor is allowed to go and make a house call on Shabbos. Aval ein lahati raki maderech rachuk, the efshel leilich biraglov, you only can go if there's no other option. You can't walk. If you can't walk, then you can go by ship or go by whatever other means you need to do, which is not ideal. But if you can walk, then you have no right to v'yev shalilch ragel kamo hasam sheyev shalavor hamayim rak im yavor besina avol kishaderech koroiv. But when it's near, ein heter me hasam, don't extrapolate from there heterim v'chin tzorch lizosh lalav lidayahitzav hitzav v'tiltul mamon. You also have taken into consideration other possible averos of hitzav achnasa and tiltul muksa. Dali v'in v'inemalus hashmalus la'shlamish b'lamalus v'leirat elevator. Okay, elevator, what about an escalator? It's also another issue. Escalator is much easier than elevator. But what about what? But what about an elevator? So ayin b'shut mishpati uzil shematir sham kishanachu yagia hakaftar, when he pressed the button. The kaftar is the button. When the guy pressed the button, it's smoted. When he's not doing it on your behalf, if you're going in an elevator and the button is anyway being pressed on behalf of a non-Jew, then you're not doing anything wrong and he holds it, it's smoter. Of course, you only can rely on going on an elevator on Shabbos when a non-Jew is also going in the car and you are not pressing the buttons, when you have no choice. When you live in a building, you live on the 20th floor and there's no way in the world you're going to be going up and down every single time to davening. You're going to be going by yourself down the steps. The buildings are very tall. It's not shaykh to go up and down the steps so many times. But you gotta be careful, because many times you go in an elevator, who's sitting next to an elevator? A non-religious Jew. So then the one that's pressing the buttons is a Yisrael Mumer, and you're not allowed to have a Yisrael Mumer do a malach on your behalf. That is a problem. They're going up and down with you. The ayin bin mishpati was zil the mashma daita what you don't know is good for you. Okay, as long as you don't know that he's Jewish, you don't have to ask. That's what he says.
But in Israel,
everyone is Jewish. But when you're in a situation where it's possible that it's not Jewish, it's a very important principle in halacha. In halacha, don't ask, don't tell. That's a very true principle. What you don't know works to your benefit. Are you mechuyev to inquire? He says no. You go in an elevator, you go into a building, right? Let's say you go to the hospital. You're in the hospital and you're going into the elevator. You're not going to use Shabbos elevator, you have to go to the 10th floor, whatever it is. So who's standing next to you? Who knows? Maybe he's Jewish. So are you and he's going to press the buttons on your behalf. So are you allowed to? You don't have to ask. That's what he paskins. The ayin the kuntris luach hayovil kosav hagoyin Rav Yosef Elio Hinkin. The yesh lahatu lehashlim vla. For people that are weak, in the elevator, he says, you're allowed to go in the elevator and the guy will press the buttons. The davko, just do it for fun. There has to be a need. And tefillah b'tzibur is a need. The davko, tefillah b'tzibur v'chodoyme. V'ketzas Rani Yoli Lee Brown says, v'zeh ma'shakosah b'shut ma'arash shehitu lotzes b'shabes im. Now that's a passport. You know what that word is? Te'udah is a passport. What's the
ID card?
Yeah. Okay, with the passport. Shleikidarko letzach tefila b'tzibur. Now here's what he says. In the old home, the altaheim, you had identity. If you're caught in the street without an ID card, you're put in jail. You must have ID. So the shiloh was, were people allowed to go? It's a very interesting shiloh. People, how did they go to the Beis HaKnesses? So the psak halacha was, it was mutter. They allowed, the rabbanim allowed you to hold, to carry in the street your ID card. B'shaloi kederech. You attach it to your hat, or you attach it, you sew it into your garment, or you, even if you don't, you're not going to sew it, you have to have it attached, but you somehow put it in your pocket, or in a different, a funny pocket, in a part of your garment, where it's not the derech to carry in such a way. So even though lechatchilo, you're not allowed to carry shloi kedarko on Shabbos, but since, but not nisa deraisa, it's not even nisa mederabanan, because you're doing it shloi kederech, it's just not the proper thing to do on Shabbos, but being that you have a tzorich, you don't want to be locked up the whole day in Shabbos in your home, you need to go to shul davening with the minyan, they will matir. So he wants to extrapolate from that is also a person who is a chayla, or is weak, and the only way he can go to the Beis HaKnesset by going in an elevator, and the guy is going to press the buttons, is no different than carrying on Shabbos in the street an ID card shloi kederech.
I was told in the 1920s or 30s in Belgium, in those years you wanted to go to the Daven and Shul, you have to buy a seat for Shabbos.
You didn't need a ticket.
So you had a ticket and they stuck it in the bands of the house.
Really? What a chiddush. What a chiddush, wow. And at the end of the hat. That's a very strange thing. I hear what you're saying. They did that.
There was a problem, I think, in the 70s on the Upper West Side. There were a tremendous amount of muggings. And the muggings were basically drug guys who were looking for money. So there was a shiloh.
Carry money. Take money with you. Just in case.
Just in case you get doesn't want to kill you.
Yes, so they paskin, yes. Sakana. Sakana snafashis. L'chor they would paskin, yes. Yeah.
Also in the Yom Kippur War too. They told the guys who are running out, Yom Kippur, take money with you on the trip.
That was a war. Okay.
You can't take it till.
Right.
Because
it's for the money you need. It's a war. It's Pasha. It's a war is going on. A war is going on, of course.
Well, yeah. Ticket on Friday, and they
yeah.
Yeah. Came to shul with a ticket to that.
In Williamsburg, all the big shuls, you had to produce tickets for Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. Well, Rosh Hashanah you can carry. Yom Kippur you can't carry.
Yom Kippur, you
had to show the ticket. But what about Yom Kippur? How did he carry Yom Kippur?
You didn't get in. It didn't show.
At night.
Oh, on the way, on the call.
No.
It's very strange. It's very, very strange. I don't know. People, Rachmana Litzlan, who take medication, okay, they need to have with them pills just in case they have some type of attack, an allergic reaction. So they have to have it with them 24/7. Or people that have asthma and they have inhalers, they have to have an inhaler with them, doctor's order 24/7. How do you go to shul with an inhaler? You have to have it on the street also. It's not enough to have one spare in shul. Even having shul get lost. So the heter is you have to have it attached to your body, shalai kederech. You attach it to your foot, you attach it to your arm, and it's demut. You're allowed to go with the shul, shaloi kederech, with your inhaler or with your medication attached in your hat or some part of your body. This is a very common shaila. We may not see it all the time, but people that have medical conditions need today. They have other things. Say there's a new thing where new technology where people who have complicated medical conditions, they have a chip. It's becoming more and more popular. Where you carry, you have some type of like a flash drive. I read about this. It's becoming more and more popular. People see you who have complicated medical conditions, and if you administer certain types of drugs, they have a reaction, and they can faint. And if they pass out, and an emergency personnel arrive, they got to know what the story is. So they have in their wallet a card which has a certain chip which they're able to immediately put in a machine. Their first responders have these gadgets, whether they're flash drives or their cards, and they could right away get an entire medical history on this person, what medication he takes, what medication is dangerous, what he's allergic to, what he's not allergic to, and they can safely administer the proper drugs. So are you allowed to carry with you at all times in your wallet a card which has embedded a chip you normally keep in your wallet? That's where they would normally look. A person is called to an emergency, they look in your wallet, what's your name? So then hopefully if you type in your social security number, so right away they'll bring up your medical history. But it's not advanced at that point in time where they can do that at this point. It's not yet stored online. But at least in the meantime, can have it stored on a card, where on that card we'll have all the information that is necessary for the people who respond to an emergency. So what about Shabbos? To what degree is it a sakana for a person to be able to carry with him this type of device that can give over the information?
Chips down better than all kinds of devices.
What?
Pacemakers have chips that
have all the information.
That transmit
it's wireless. Wirelessly. Cheney had in his, he wrote about this, Cheney had in his pacemaker, they have pacemakers which are controlled remotely.
Right.
They want to make adjustments. So you don't have to plug the guy in. You go to your laptop, And your laptop, it's wireless.
It's in his brain too.
It's wireless.
That went awry.
Cheney said, so I read this. Cheney has a pacemaker, and there's a chip in the pacemaker. He has an advanced pacemaker where a doctor can make adjustments to how it works remotely without touching him from a computer. He said that he had that feature in his pacemaker turned off. He was afraid a terrorist would be able to penetrate the firewall and be able to kill him. Would you believe this?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know Cheney is in the room. You're a terrorist. You go on your computer, you hack into his pacemaker, and you can cause him to have some malfunction. Unbelievable. That's how far technology has gone. Okay, let's go further. We'll go further in the case of the ayim bekuntris luach hayovel. I'm reading now from the second last paragraph on the page. With your ta'uda, with your ID card, your passport, he was still alive. When Brown wrote this, Rav Yoel was still alive. He disagrees. That's not, you can't compare the case of an ID card to the case of going in the Shabbos elevator. The Amar She'ein Kol Kach Raya Mishan, the Yevshleim Mishum, the Mitzvah Derabim, he the Shas Cherim Hoya. That was a Mitzvah Derabim. It was a time of Cherim, a time of war. Of oppression. So therefore, each one needs the other. So there, that was for the tzibur. The yevshel shum adam leilich b'loy k'sav yichus. So there, it's called mitzvah derabim. There, everyone is in the same boat. Every single person is in the same situation. Each person needs the other person for chizuk. It's an entirely. You could make a minion, but it's an entirely different league of danger. And in that situation, that's why the poskim were lenient. But for an individual, for a yachid, to go to shul, to go with a minion, down with a minion, to use an elevator, and have a good operating elevator, he's not telling you that it's osur, but it has to, you can't just give a blanket heter. The person won't go to a minion, but the minion will go on. The minion will go on without you.
Yeah, he could make a minion on his wall.
Who's going to want to come to him? Who's going to want to climb up 10 flights of steps? Not all the time. So basically just saying, you can't compare. You obviously, you're going to get heter for this. That's not a question. The only point he wants to make over here is, it's not a blanket heter. Just because there was a time when you had to go walk in the street with an ID card, that was the entire Klal Yisrael was in the same, the entire community was in the same situation, and no one can get together. There wouldn't be a minion altogether unless people traveled with their ID card. It's a mitzvah. Rabim, and that's why that case was exceptional. When you're dealing with yichidim, then you have to judge on an individual basis. V'ayin b'shut mahar shag la'goin. I don't know who that, how to pronounce that. The Hagah mi ben mechaber gam kei mashma sham daita she'ein b'zeh mishum uvdin d'chol. Going in an elevator is not uvdin d'chol. It's no big deal. Don't be afraid. I am sham heitev his matter. Ve'etzem pulas ho electrically b'malas yesh b'zeh su deraisa mishum mavir oiloy ayin l'kamon. Going in an elevator is that a melacha deraisa melacha derabanan. L'chor it's only melacha derabanan. Okay, there's no iser deraisa in electricity. We don't pass like the chazonish. The chazonish is a daser. Chazanish is of the opinion that completing a circuit is a melacha d'oraisa. So das yachid, none of the poskim accept his opinion lahalacha. So going in, you completing an electric circuit, any electrical device, at worst is a melacha d'rabanan. Once a melacha d'rabanan, that opens up the door for leniencies when there's a loss of money, when there's a choyla shem by sakana, when there's a need to daven with a mitzvah, for a mitzvah daven with a minion, opens up. We do not paskin like the Chazon Ish, and therefore going in the elevator at best is a melacha d'rabanan. The only time you have melacha d'oraisa is an incandescent bulb, but incandescent bulbs are not in style anymore. They're out of business, incandescent bulbs. Everything today is fluorescent, and now LED. So the issues of d'oraisa are going away. It's going to be very interesting what's going to happen in the future, 10 years from now, when there are going to be no more books. Everything is going to be electronic, iPads. You'll have a little thin little piece of paper, and on that piece of paper you'll have Kol HaTorah Kula. So I'm sure you're gonna hear about Heterim that on Shabbos. You're gonna see it.
You can make a lot of money. You make a Shabbos Kindle. You can make a lot.
A Shabbos Kindle. So I have no doubt that the Tzomet Institute in Israel already is working on it. All right, they're gonna have it's gonna be a grumma. It's gonna be backwards, and so it's not gonna be a derabbanon, and it's gonna be letzarch mitzvah. It's for davening. It's to save the environment. We have to save the trees. There's a mitzvah to save the environment. We have to go green. You're gonna hear all of these things. There's no doubt about it. You're gonna hear all these modern day shilas, and they're gonna be machlekes. Some people are matir, some hold it's aser, and then it's gonna be lebedik. Just give it a couple of years. Mark my word. We shall all be live and well. Yeah.
The Shabbos wheelchair.
Operating a Shabbos wheelchair, the motorized wheelchairs. L'chatchila, the Tzomet Institute has made a grama switch where they claim al pi halacha it's mutter. You're not doing anything. Not everyone is so thrilled to make use of their the grama switch. I'm not familiar with the technology. Basically, it's not permitted. You're not allowed to operate a scooter, an electronic scooter on Shabbos. It's an issur midrabbanan. That's the consensus. You need to have a non-Jew take you to shul on Shabbos or to go. New ones. The Tzomet Institute have produced an electronic scooter, which they claim is mutter to operate on Shabbos. It's engineered in a way where when you accelerate, when you turn on the switch, you're not directly completing a circuit and causing the energy to flow into the motor. It's being done indirectly. So when you combine different factors, that it's grama, you're not doing it directly, doing it indirect, and you're not completing a circuit, and it's for chayla, shem b'sakana, for tzarech mitzvah, so you'll have many, you'll have rabbanim who will be very generous and say, yes, the chayla can operate this electronic scooter on Shabbos. When you have no choice, you have no choice. If you're locked up in your own apartment, and the only way you can operate your bed, or you operate a chair to go to the base akise with these electronic devices, you got no choice. You have to be mater. You're not
hearing aids.
Hearing aids are mutter. Many places can hold its mutter. Hearing aids, you're not doing anything. What are you doing hearing aids? Hearing aids operating by itself. It's like electronic cameras. When you walk in the street, no, you can't turn on and off, but once it's on, you're not doing anything. Are you allowed to leave a radio on Shabbos? Technically, why not? You're not doing anything wrong. People leave televisions on Shabbos. It's not Shabbistic. But technically speaking, is there anything technically wrong leaving a radio on Shabbos? No. But the radio is transmitting, it's receiving, and it's... Even that's not so simple. Some hold you can't adjust it. There are. What are you doing when you're adjusting it? Are you really doing anything wrong? Is that really wrong? Is that really problematic? There's no clear answer. Obviously, it's not Shabbistic. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos. But if you have a special need, and there's a loss of money, or there's a chayla shame by sakana, and you're not doing a melacha deraisa, you're doing it indirect, then on a case-by-case basis, you will definitely have situations where it's mutter. Going in public, using an electronic scooter, maybe the rabbanim will tell them technically you're not doing anything wrong, so in the privacy of your own home, it's mutter. But to go to the point where you go in public and the mezalzel and the kedusha of Shabbos, where it relates to other people when they see you doing things which normally they associate to be a zilzel in Shabbos, some rabbanim will say that's not so simple.
So someone on electric scooter was Tzomet, and there was a sign on it.
It's a Tzomet electric scooter
for Shabbos.
So not every rabbi is going to appreciate that. Yeah.
In America, when they sell it, Tzomet.
Yeah.
It has to be a place with a neighbor. Of course, it's down in Florida. I have a friend who lives.
Yeah.
He says he was allowed to have it because
there's an Erev. There's another Shaila of an Erev Shaila, right?
I mean, that seems the only condition.
The only condition. Okay, but let's say you go in Borough Park. Okay, let's say you go in, okay, what I mean is, let's say you go in a heavy duty black hat, a black area. You go in a black neighborhood. Okay, you know what I mean. And you start driving around, on a Tzomet scooter where there's an Erev. People will be sympathetic. There's no question about it. Rachman al-Assan, the person is not well. He needs to go on a scooter. Will they be happy with what's taking place? No. It's mutter. They know it's mutter. It is still, to some degree, maybe things will change over time, looks to the average person as a zilzal in Kedusha Shabbos. Because we in our minds associate things which are run electronically as a breach in the laws of Shabbos. I press the button and it moves. The motor moves. I know the motor has been re-engineered so that it's only a grumma and I'm not completing a circuit and it's mutter and it's a choyla, shemay sakon, and he needs it for his menuchas hanefesh. Okay, I understand. But it's not Shabbistic. It's not. So when you live in a community where that's not an issue, we don't think about that. It's not a problem for us, and especially when everyone is like that. You have a senior community where half the people are in that situation, it's not an issue. But when you have a different type of crowd, it doesn't go off well.
I think by the Arab, there's some communities that have one Shabbos that say the Arab
is down in order to show that there's something called an Arab.
The reason, one of the successes why the Arab did hold was because even the ones who were against it, some big rabbi came to Barabbas, so they made a local Arab about four blocks. So he said, for the Rebbe, you're allowed to make four blocks, you're allowed to make more blocks too.
All right, the Erev is very political. It's more a political issue.
Well, you're saying, if someone needs a wheelchair, you see that he's being pushed eventually. So, you know, you can't always get a guy. It becomes a reminder.
You can't generalize. So these type of shilas are always going to be different. Okay, so that concludes Simon Ayin Dalit. Okay, so we'll stop here up to a new Simon.